If you weren't an athlete, but you were a teenager in the 1970s, and if you had a certain bent for fantasy, you probably played, or at least knew people who played, Dungeons & Dragons. The fantasy game turns 30 this year, and even in an age of high-tech electronic adventures, its appeal endures. Vicki Valentine has our story.
By day, they're lawyers, programmers, and librarians. But tonight, they're mages, thieves, and fighters on a mission to rescue a sailor's sweetheart.
All right. Let's go. Okay. So if we get into trouble, the code word will be help.
That's Alan Wanacott, a 30-something computer systems developer. His Washington, D.C. high-rise apartment is the setting for a weekly role-playing game with a group of friends. They're eating sushi as they try to figure out how to rescue Alan's fictional sweetheart.
Great expense to
their characters are in a mystical port city, and their next move is to ask a powerful and dangerous gypsy fortune teller a question.
There's something that I want to know very badly.
You may ask me a question, but I cannot promise truth.
Fair enough. There is someone I'm trying to rescue from a very brutal servitude, and I can't see a way to free her.
Make a great deal of money. Good day.
Dungeon Master Dave Burbank is playing the role of the gypsy. The game essentially works like this. The Dungeon Master comes up with a quest, like ridding a village of an evil wizard. You can either buy an official D&D adventure from a bookstore, or make up your own. Players then create characters, like a human fighter, an elf, cleric, or a gnome thief. Rolls of the die determine things like how smart or strong you are, and in the adventure, whether your sword scores a fatal stab or a glancing blow. Players say it's like acting, reading, and writing a book, all at the same time. The rules are notoriously complicated. But most players agree, that's not the heart of the game.
Really, it's just storytelling. It's playing within your own imagination. There really aren't any rules when it comes down to it. It's just, is it an interesting story?
Dave is a librarian in Tacoma Park, Maryland. He's tall and wiry, with long blonde hair and pointy features. He looks a bit like a half-elf. He first started playing as a kid in the late 1970s, during the game's heyday, when it inspired cartoons, TV movies, a suburban subculture, in the wrath of the Christian right. A friend showed Dave the game. That's how most people find out about it. He quickly became one of those adolescent boys obsessing about bugbears and beholders.
I played for about the next 10 or 11 years and then quit for a bit to, date girls and stuff.
But then family friend Emily Eckel asked adult Dave to show her son how to play.
It's quite creative and teaches teamwork. You know, I think it's far healthier than football or something where people actually get physically hurt. And I mean, what do you learn in football but to knock each other down, take things away from each other? And this isn't like that.
You don't want to kill them in this part because it'd be less interesting. Because it'd be right at the beginning of the adventure.
Before a local D&D All-Stars game, 15-year-old Everett is hovering over a notepad with Dave, sketching out obstacles and monsters characters will face.
There's any number of ways that you can spectacularly rescue them by making them roll dice roll after dice roll as they fall through tree canopy or whatever.
D&D helps me think on my feet.
Everett recently made the leap from player to dungeon master in training.
Some people I've found feel like it's a way to take risks that they wouldn't normally take and be a hero when they would normally just kind of shy away from anything like that.
The number of kids in Dave's after-school rec program is on the rise, as is interest in the fantasy genre in general. The success of Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings has helped fuel a resurgence in fantasy games and books. D&D maker Wizards of the Coast recently gave the game a facelift and released a third edition of its rulebooks. About 6 million people play D&D today, and it's a fiercely devoted following. But there's something else that's keeping Dungeons & Dragons alive. Fiction books and licensed computer games, like one of this summer's hottest sellers, Neverwinter Nights.
A virulent plague swept the city, a terrible affliction that began in the beggar's nest. Soon, all of Neverwinter would feel the touch of the wailing death.
The books and games sell in the millions and follow D&D rules, such as types of monsters and magic spells. Computer games in particular owe their formula to D&D.
Dungeons & Dragons was a very big influence on those early game designers.
Stanford professor Henry Lowood is co-authoring a book about the history and culture of computer games.
It also then became, I think, a very common objective for people writing computer games in the late 1970s, early 1980s, to do something in the computer game space that was kind of like Dungeons and Dragons, what they knew of through their own experiences playing Dungeons and Dragons.
The idea of creating a hero, sending him on a fantasy quest, and trying to win him as much treasure, weapons, and experience as possible came straight from D&D co-founder Gary Gygax. He drafted the game's first set of rules in 1972. But what computer games aren't able to replicate, says Gygax, is the social interaction.
All those are as seek and destroy missions. They're exciting, you know, graphically. But you know, I think Aristotle told us that the least element of the tragedy is the mighty special effects. There is no group playing, there is no camaraderie, there is no role playing. Go find something, kill it, get its treasure, get a little more powerful so that you can go kill the toughest thing in the game and then the game's over.
But with advances in networking and internet technology, many computer games are becoming more and more like the pencil and paper game that first inspired them. Computer games are now capable of letting players design their own adventures and dungeon master a game with their friends over the internet. And one last thing, just to set the record straight, D&D and computer game players alike have always been accused of being fantasy freaks who can't cope with the real world. But many say that if they had a choice, they wouldn't live in a D&D world. Dungeon Master Everett.
I would stay here. I mean, as cool as it would be to have all these magic powers and stuff, it's also a lot of danger, and people die a lot in D&D.
You shall feel my wrath!
Vicki Valentine, NPR News, Washington.
At my command, attack!